You are listening to BensTorah.com.
A very difficult word that is not clearly defined almost anywhere, and that is the word chinam. In the phrase that we are very familiar with that appears in many places, including numerous places in Chazal, which we'll see momentarily, about sinas chinam. Now, when it talks about the Beis HaMikdash, which we'll see momentarily, sinas chinam, but it never tells us what is that chinam. And it's hard to imagine that chinam really means completely out of nowhere. It's just hard to imagine because that's not how people work. And if it is how people work, then it's hard to imagine that. Especially the question will become much more acute when we see how Chazal speak about that generation that is accused of sinas chinam, and we see what was happening during that generation. You realize why chinam can't really mean chinam in the most literal sense, and we'll hopefully try to uncover what sinas chinam might mean, and thereby uncover what the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, was specifically rooted in, and hopefully with that in mind, we will have the tools, Be'ezus Hashem, to be misaking that and be zocha to the Geula, b'mehera b'yomeinu, amen. Before we begin to talk about sinas chinam and talk about the Beis HaMikdash, I want to mention two very random Gemaras that don't have anything to do with sinas chinam per se, but give us a little bit of a sensitivity at the extent to which Chazal want us to feel one Jew towards another Jew. Any of you Kohanim? Yes, we have Mr. Cohen here. We have Mr. Bach is a Kohen. Okay, so we have a few Kohanim. So the Kohanim, when they go up, they have to make sure they're wearing nice socks. Baruch Hashem, this shul is Yotzei that Shita. Baruch Hashem, they're the nicest socks that I've seen in my years in Rabbana, so definitely in our shul for the Kohanim. And I think it's just because recently in the past year or two, socks became more of a colorful experience, especially for Yeshiva Bacharim to exercise their, you know, the black and white up on top, so they get to have colorful socks on the bottom. But putting that aside, why is it that Kohanim take off their shoes? So I always thought that Kohanim take off their shoes because something like Al Admas Kodesh, they're not allowed to wear shoes in the Beis HaMikdash, and other such elevated ideas. But if you look in the Gemara in Sota that asks this question, it gives a very different answer. An answer that might be able to sensitize us to the nature of how to deal with people. It says Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Amud Aleph in source number 1. Ein ha-kohanim rishayin la'alos b'sandalehen la'duchen. V'zeu achas miteisha takona shehizki Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. My time, la'mishum kavrat tzibur. Presumably, it's kavrat tzibur. I'm not sure what the kavrat tzibur is to take off your shoes. I would have said, fakert. It's a kavrat tzibur to be wearing shoes. Okay. Amar Rashi, no. What's the reason? Hasam, the concern is, shema nifzika lo ritzua b'sandalo. We didn't finish yet. Maybe something's going to happen to his, right nowadays, it's not really laces. In the olden days, they had my father in his attic has an old, I don't know why it's in the family, but an old chalitza shoe. Very, 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 very old. Very old and chalitza shoe. Chalitza shoe, most of you have probably never seen one, but there are not so many in the world. I remember when I was actually at a zocha to see, I don't know if it's zocha, whatever, I was at a chalitza once, and I was speaking to one of the Dayanim, and they said, yeah, this chalitza shoe is sent around the world when they need to do a chalitza in whatever city or country. They take this, they're not so many in the world. It has to be made by, manufactured by hand in a very specific way, so they FedEx it to this based in this country, and then a few months later it's needed somewhere else, they FedEx it somewhere else. So we had one in our house. If you look at a nal of the olden days, a sandal, there's just a bottom, and then there are the ropes that sort of curl up the feet. If you think of like the Roman legionnaires, that kind of those straps that go up the calf until the knee. So the concern is, so don't use the word laces, not that the laces are going to come out. So we're going to worry that one of their straps are going to tear. So what's going to probably be the problem if it's going to tear?
It's not
kvod hatzibur. Continues the Gemara. V'hadar ozil mikteres, he's going to bend down and tie it. Okay, that's reasonable. V'amre ben grusha ben chalutzahu, zokt Rashi. G'nai hu la'atzmo, he's going to be embarrassed. U'mislot simulav, they'll poke fun on him. K'shesandla muteres, if it's going to be untied, v'yasla mikteres, he's going to sit down to tie it. And all of his friends are meanwhile duchening. They started already. Va'asi l'meimer, and they're going to say, oh, he must have some familial issue, and he's not roi l'nasiyas kapayim. That's why he's not getting up to the duchen. Narabosai, how often do you think it's going to happen that people, thank you very much, Ephraim, I appreciate that. How often do you think it's going to happen that somebody's, a Kohen's sandal is going to rip when?
When he wants to duchen.
While he happens, remember, this is not when there's a halacha to untie your shoes. This is why we made the halacha that you have to take off your shoes. So you're just stum walking, and punk, your shoe is going to rip as you're walking from the seventh row in the back of the shul to the duchen. And punk there, we're going to worry that it's going to happen. And this is, and people are going to accuse you. And for that one in a million concern that this might happen, Chazal said, all kohanim every day, now here it's only a Yontif, and I still have to forever take off their...
That's why you can't go swimming on Shabbos, because you might pull the raft.
Yeah, okay. 100%, that's true. Yes. Another totally different halacha, unrelated, but just shows you a certain sensitivity that Chazal wanted us to have to the people's feelings. Hakori shma shnei pa'amim harezeh maguna. We have a similar gemara like this. This is the Masechtas Ketanos Kal Rabasi. The beginning is like a gemara brachas that we have. Homer shma shma, you're not supposed to say shma shma, you're not supposed to say modim modim. It looks like they're modim b'shtei rishuyos. Continues. V'hatovel shnei pa'amim. You go to the mikvah and you dunk twice. Wait a sec, what's wrong with that? Because you're dunking once for this god and once for another god? That's what I would have said. Continues the Kal Rabasi. Why? What's wrong with dunking the second time? Dilma dayik al inshi, two versions of that next word, dayik. Is it zayik or dayik? Maybe it will splash onto somebody, v'lo chazilei, and it's going to be dirty water. It won't be proper for them. But worry, you see somebody going to the mikvah. You know they're going to dunk, so it's going to be a splash. You expect it. Lo and behold, the second time, you weren't expecting that. And he's going to splash a little bit of water on somebody else and, you know, get them a little dirty or a little bit unpleasant, the sensitivity that, you know, sometimes we are worried about making sure that I want to do my tefillah l'mahadran, I want to dunk 37 times keneged yudkei vavkei and another 11. I'm not sure what the 11's for, but, and here you see the sensitivity. We're not going to talk about the case where there is sinah is mutter. That's Gemara Pesachim Kuf Yud Gimel. You're welcome to look at it on your own. But just with that, couched with those two examples, just the sensitivity, Chazal, I mean, you could have picked from any number of countless cases of Chazal wanting to have sensitivity towards others. But let's start getting to the Ben HaMitzarim issues. Says the Gemara Yuma, Teslam and Beis, Mikdash Risham Mepnei Macharev, Mepnei Shalosh Dvarim Shehayubo, Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayos, Shrichas Damim, the big three, the Yehar Val Yavaris. Avam Mikdash Sheni, now look at this Lashon, and then we're going to contrast it in a moment with the Yushalmi's version of this Gemara, and you'll see a fabulous addition that the Yushalmi adds. Mikdash Sheni, Sheyu Oskim Batorah, Uvimitzos, Uvimilas Chasadim. That means, I mean, that sounds pretty impressive. To say, to testify in a generation that they are Osik Batorah Mitzos, Uvimilas Chasadim, is a pretty big, Haskama. To teach us, the big three. Now look how the Yushalmi adds to this comment that the Bavli has. V'sheni, says Yushalmi, in the second base of Mikdash, makir nanu osam shehayu yigein batorah. Right? Our Bavli just said, osukir batoskim batorah, mamish yigein batorah. Uzehirin b'mitzvos, u'b'maisos, v'chol veses tova, all midos tovos haisa behen. Which is going to be very troubling. If they had good midos, so how in the world are they having sinas chinam? I don't have the answers. I'm not going to have an answer, but keep on going. It gets more interesting. El shohayu ohavin es hamamam. They loved money. V'sonin elu la'elu sinas chinam. I think if you read this, it sounds like the avas hamamam was what
related
go
to
rain.
Money?
What?
This sinas chinam is related to money?
That's what the Yushalmi think sounds like. That's the flow. It's not two separate things. Shohayu ohavin es hamamam A, there's no iser inherently in ohavin es hamamam that deserves to be destroyed. It must be ohavin es hamamam, and that caused the sonin elu la'elu sinas chinam.
It would have been a kinah. Who said kinah? If they were jealous of them.
So we're going to suggest a mahalach that might answer up the diuk haloshen of how the avas hamamon leads to sinas chinam. We're going to have a mahalach in a few minutes. And the Yerushalmi concludes with the same point that the Bavli concludes. You see that sinas chinam is kenega, is parallel, is equally as nefarious as avodah zarah gilei arayos and shvichas damim. Now, what I don't understand is how could you have kol veses tova, all the good midos, but you have avas mamon and sinas chinam. there must be something a little bit subtle here, because if it's so blatant, I mean, when somebody calls me and says, "Can you tell me about that young man, that so and so's daughter or so and so's son in your shul?" And I say, are they Bali Midos? Oh, they're wonderful Bali Midos, they're incredibly Bali Midos, but they just hate people irrationally. And they just, it's an oxymoron. So we have to understand this, what kind of sinuschinim are we dealing with? And that will be the goal of the next few minutes. Before we do that, I want to share with you a very unusual Sefer HaMitzvah smack, which I don't understand. And you'll see why. I think it's a very simple question on it, but he's smarter than me and he probably realized that. The smack, mitzvah ches, is avas, is v'hav zorecha kamocha. When he lists smack as a Sefer HaMitzvah, it's one of the monia mitzvahs, and he talks about avas Yisrael, v'hav zorecha kamocha, and then in the middle of that mitzvah ches, he talks about the second Beis HaMikdash as echoing the Bavli and Yerushalmi that they were Gomel Chasadim and it was destroyed for Sinas Chinam, which is also very weird. A generation that is experts in Gemilas Chasadim and at the same time they have Sinas Chinam, again, just doesn't add up. Now look what he says. Oh, and it's Nirmaz in the Rashi Tevos of the first Pasuk of Eicha. Eicha Yashavada Adhayira Basiya Maisa Kamana. What's the Rashi Tevos? Eva Ra'a. Bad hatred. Can anybody point out a very tremendous question on this smack?
All hatred is bad. It's bad hatred.
I hear that. Eicha was written when? By whom?
Eicha Yirmiyahu.
Yirmiyahu wrote Eicha. When did he live? The first Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why? Nothing to do with Sinas Chinam, exactly. So Yirmiyahu wrote Eicha, and it's being Meravis to Sinas Chinam. So okay, it's a remez that Yirmiyahu put late, to, you know, secretly snuck in that we were only able to realize, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years later. But that's just a funny, you know, you're bringing a pasuk of Eicha to show me something about, you know, a remez in the first book is a pasuk of Eicha by Bayis Rishon to show me the, you know, Sinas Chinam from Bayis Sheni. It's a little bit funny. Okay, yeah. Enochanami. Fine. Now, the Kara Kemach, Rabbeinu Bechayi lived, the Rabbeinu Bechayi al HaTorah, not Rabbeinu Bechayi who wrote Chovas HaLevavos, who we'll see soon, but he was a Talmud of the, Rabbeinu Bechayi was a Talmud of the Rashba, lived in the 1255. He had a long life. He lived 85 years old from 1255 to 1340. He writes something interesting. When he's talking about Ahava, Kara Kemach is an interesting sefer. It's basically like a Wikipedia of topics. Yeah, it's topics. It's like sort of like the Pele Yoetz. If you ever seen the Pele Yoetz, it just says alphabetical topics, and then he gives you a little, you know, a page or two about this topic. So he has a shtickle on, I think it was Sinas Chinam. Either Avas, what is it on? Sinas Chinam. And he says something very interesting. He says, we'll skip the first point. The second paragraph, Sinas Chinam. What is Sinas Chinam? Top of the next page. Now let's see if we can come out with a clear idea of what Sinas Chinam is and what he's trying to drive out. And that might help us get to understand what's happening. Sinas Chinam hu chiluk levavos. People who have chiluk levavos. We'll see what that means. Shadeos b'nei adam ishtanim zemizeh. They have different ideas, different perspectives, different ways of looking at things. The hashkafos among them. Ve'eno maskim das achas, and there are disagreements. Kol echa ve'echad yesh l'das b'fnei atzma ve'en l'chavar yisron alav. Nobody else's mind, you know, thought is better than mine. Ve'en echad me'amakir erech mishu godom v'eno. I don't respect anybody's ideas of those who are greater than myself. Ela shirotim lios kulam rashim. Everybody wants to be, you know, to be in charge. And Mamela, they're going to, we'll see what happens after this. What I think he's saying is that it's natural for people to have different thoughts and ways of looking at things. That's a given. The question is, what do we do with that? Where do we take that? It sounds from, I think, what Rabbeinu Bechayi is saying is that when people have difference of perspectives or disagreements, that's okay and that's part of how life works, but you don't have to therefore say, since I thought this way, therefore I must be right and it's my way or the highway. Because why? Because it was my idea. realize that the same way that you have your idea, that other person could be equally intelligent or less intelligent or more intelligent, has a different idea, and that shouldn't require, I mean, just because you have an idea, that doesn't mean that everybody else has to be wrong, which is, I think, something that we all battle with every day when we have disagreements with our family members, with our friends, with our coworkers, with other people. Over the chavrusas, just because I thought of an idea, that doesn't mean that therefore I'm better than other people. And look at the end of this paragraph. What happens when we have this chiluk between ourselves that is driven by me not accepting, being able to accept other people's perspectives? Inasmuch as da seim v'libo seim chalukim, ein hashchira shora ba'am shalibo cholik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in dwelling in a people that are disagree with another. As the pasuk says, I actually thought it was the Chafetz Chaim who had this vart on the pasuk. It's actually Rabbeinu Bechai. Pasuk says, we know the pasuk, Vayhi b'shur melech. When will HaKadosh Baruch Hu be the king on Klal Yisrael? V'sasef rashayam. Kolomer kishayu aguda achas. When people gather together, when people will work together, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be a melech. And therefore, to the extent, and this is going to be something that we're going to see in the Maharal later, at the end of the shir, the Maharal is going to, I'll say it now, but it's going to be, we'll see it inside later, the Maharal says something incredible. He says, what was the whole yisod of Churban Bayis Sheni? What was the whole yisod of the fact that we had Bayis Sheni? This is a topic, we mentioned this down since when I spoke between Mincha Ma'ariv and Shavuos Batamas. We spoke Ba'arichas about this yisod of the Maharal. What was Bayis Sheni and Bayis Rishon? How were they different? Bayis Rishon had, what was the biggest difference between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni? When it was built. You said unity? You're wrong. You know why you're wrong? Because in Bayis Rishon, there was Yisrael and Yehuda. In Bayis Sheni, there was no split among the kingdom, within the kingdom.
By the time
unity was not
there. The Bayis Rishon was destroyed. All there was Yehuda. There was no more.
So I'm talking about not Churban Beis Hamikdash. I'm talking about the Beis Hamikdash when we did have it. So it wasn't that the Bayis Rishon had unity and Bayis Sheni did not have unity. It was to the contrary, actually. What was the main difference between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni when we had them?
Luchos.
Shechina. That was the main difference. All the other things are just outgrowths of the Shechina. First Bayis had Shechina, and therefore says the Maharal, what was the Churban of the Bayis? When you do acts, Gilarayas, Shrichas Dom, and Avodah Zarah, which the Psukim all, if you look through the Psukim and Chumash, all are called Tuma, which is the antithesis of Shechina. So if the whole bias was built because of Shechina, so when you do things of Tuma, which is the removal of Shechina, Mimela, the bias mitzvah is destroyed. Bias Sheni didn't have any Shechina. So of course it's not going to be destroyed when you do things of Tuma, because it wasn't built in the first place because of the Shechina. What was it that was that gave us Bayis Sheni? What did we have in Bayis Sheni? We had Achdus. All Bayis Sheni was, there was no Shechina, there was no Ruach HaKodesh, there was no Nevuah. So what was there? There was no Urim V'Tumim. It was a place for everybody to do Avodas Hashem together in a unified way. Memel, if the whole Yisod of Bayis Sheni was Achdus Yisrael, so what could be the reason why it should be destroyed? Only because of the lack of that Achdus. Mele, it's not that it's a punishment. It's not that the Sinas Chena was the punishment for the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. It's much more fundamental. The whole Yisod was pulled out from under it. The rug was pulled out from under it. The Beis HaMikdash only existed because of the unity. And you just pulled out whatever the Yisod was. There was the Achdus. There wasn't Shechina anyway. It was just the Achdus. You pulled out the Achdus. Mele, there's no Bayis Sheni. It's not an onesh of, because you did Sinas Chena, I'm going to break your base. No. And that's what the Maharal will say later, but that's also what the Rabbeinu Bechai here is explaining, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present, again, maybe not in terms of real Shechina, because Sangha Bayis didn't have the full-fledged Shechina, but Hashem is present when there is that Achdus among Klal Yisrael. And then, this is really a tangent, but it's fascinating. And he says, I think he's going to say the following. What is the source of all machlokas in history? If you say Chayin Hevel, I'll tell you earlier than that. What? Before that. What?
The sun and the moon.
Before the sun and the moon. One day. Let's see the next paragraph. Sivas ha-machlokas v'yikaro What's the source for machlokas? Pirud. Pirud. Kolomer chiluk ratzon v'eshtanus davar midavar. When there's chilukim, when there's difference of will, when there's separation, as long as something is full, is whole, there cannot be machlokas. Only when there are factions can you have machlokas. If you're all unified, there can't be machlokas. The word machlokas doesn't apply. Umizet timtza b'maisa breishis. B'yom rishon, sheyirmoz al hayichud, lo timtza bo shum pirud davar midavar. If you look at Yom Rishon, where everything is unified, there's no distinction between this and this, vayavdel Hashem bein, X and X, that didn't exist on the first day. And therefore, the first day is pure achdus, and there's no machlokas. Look what he says. Aval biyom sheni shu achloka hachaluka, this is the answer to the question. Bein mayim lamayim, bein mayim yisham hischa machlokas. The whole concept of machlokas is sourced where? It's sourced in the second day of creation, of Vayavdel Hashem bein hamayim, Hashem yala rakia, bein hamayim, Hashem b'tachas rakia. And that's why it doesn't say Kitov. We learned when we were in elementary school that doesn't say Kitov because Hashem didn't finish doing what he had to do. He didn't finish till the next day. And that's why he says Kitov twice in the next day. Says Rabbeinu B'chai, no, you know he says Kitov because this is the Shorash HaMachlokas. And all Machlokas emanate from there. And he says, and that's why, I think what he means in the next paragraph, and that's why since Yom Sheni was the Shorash HaMachlokas, what's the churban by his sheni was because of machlokas. A little bit of a stretch, a little bit interesting, but I think that's what he says in the next paragraph. Okay, so that's a little bit of background as far as what sinah is, where he didn't talk about, again, his sinah's chinam. The way I understand he's talking about the word chinam is that chinam is, the sinah is that I have a perspective and you have a perspective. The chinam is that just because I think something, why does that have to make me right? I'm not angry at you because you hurt me. That's not sinas chinam. I'm angry at you. The chinam shabo that the Rebbe Chaya is telling us is the fact that we have disagreements, which is normal, part of the normal way of life, and I'm making that disagreement be a reason why I'm better than you and you're worse than me, just because I'm different in my thought process. Let me tell you a story. This is Machshava from Matisyahu Salomon, and it gives a very beautiful insight into how we could understand the word chinam.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Sometimes you have kids, a little ADHD, and they play with, they like fiddling, you know, during class, they like fiddling with their pencils, with their pens, you know, bopping, you know, banging the table a little bit. And it's some, you know, in any class, there are going to be a handful of kids who are like that. Some of them may be us or our children. Okay, fine, we all know somebody like that. So Rebbe, it's a little annoying for Rebbe. Rebbe says, you know, Yankel Beryl, please stop playing with your pencil. Please stop tapping your pencil, right? Do you have any students like that? I might have been one of them. Okay. So the student, I was a very fine student in high school. So the student, okay, he stops. And then 5 minutes later, he starts, you know, tapping again. So what does Rebbe do?
You did?
No.
Yeah. Probably.
You didn't.
What did the Rebbe do? He takes a 12-inch machete from, you know, the Rebbe's desk. He walks over to the student. He slices off the left hand, slices off the right hand. Right? He told him not to. The kid didn't listen. Okay. So the parents come running in. They say, oh my gosh, you what did you do? You cut off my our kid's hand for no reason, and he's going to be maimed for life. He's going to be, the, you know, for the rest of it. It's over. And the Rebbe is very calm, very patient. He said, I don't understand. What do you mean I cut his hands off for no reason? I had a very good reason. He was playing, he was tapping on the table, and I told him to stop. I had a reason. So Rabbi Solomon said a very, very beautiful idea. What is chinam? Chinam means, oh, for nothing? No, it just means that compared to what it should be, that's not reasonable. Meaning, yes, a kid could tap on a table and be annoying, but that doesn't warrant something that's so incredibly, incredibly, vastly more destructive as a punishment, klape the crime. That makes it chinam. And therefore the parents are saying, you cut his hands off for nothing. But more than that, the whole yesod of what that, when you realize the horrific ramifications, a kid is going to be paralyzed, is going to be disabled for his life, he's not going to be able to type, he's not going to be able to open a door, he's not going to be able to drive, do we know how much bracha could come to the world if we have shalom one with another? And by allowing the sin or the disagreements to fester and to lead to disagreement, we're letting something so minute and so insignificant prevent and stuff up and clunk up that shefa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wishes and wills to send down to a unified Klal Yisrael. And that's what makes it unwarranted, clappy, the horrific results. Meaning, yeah, that's maybe this warranted. You aviled me. You didn't give me the aliyah that I wanted, or you didn't give me the this that I wanted, or you know, you took my parking spot. Okay, you Mr. Isaac, once you raise your voice, you send my tax returns back a day late after I wanted them, and so okay, I have a reason to be angry at you. But klape, the ramifications of what Achdus Yisrael brings to Klal Yisrael, that pales in significance. And that's the chinam, a beautiful, beautiful idea that Rabbi Tzio Salomon teaches the word chinam in the sinas chinam. But I'd like to take it a step deeper with trying to teach a Gemara. The rest of what I want to do is really to explain one line of Gemara. Very simple line of Gemara, but it's I think there's a lot here. Gemara Yuma Daf Tesem and Beis, source number 8. Rishonim sheniskala avonam niskala kitzam. The people of the first place, Hamikdash, their avon was revealed, and therefore their end was revealed. 70 years, we got. They came back home. 70 years of Galus Bavel, they came back home. Acharonim shelon niskala avonam, but the generations of the second base Hamikdash, whose aver was not revealed, their end is not revealed, and that's why we're still sitting here in New York without a Beis HaMikdash, because lo nisgala avonam. What does it mean that the second Beis HaMikdash, the lo nisgala avonam, and for that reason we don't know when the end is going to be, and we haven't reached the end, because what's this idea of lo nisgala avonam? After all, we don't know what the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed for. The same Gemara that tells me that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of ABC, because of Yehar Valyav, the three Yehar Valyavar, that same Gemara told me why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because it's Sinas Chinam. So how come this Gemara says, in fact, they're both Gemaras in Yuma, if I'm not mistaken, right? Both Gemaras in Yuma, different places. It's the same Sugi, I'm sorry. Same Daf, actually. Same Amr, same Gemara in Testament Beis. So the same Gemara, right after it says what the reason for the Churban Beis Rishon and what the reason for Churban Beis Sheni is, it goes ahead and says that the second Beis HaMikdash, we don't know when the Golus is going to end, the bitter Golus that you and I are sitting in right now. We don't know when it's going to end because their Avera wasn't Begilui. Well, it was Sinas Chinam. Yeah?
Tanakh.
You're saying it's in Tanakh. Fine.
There's other Averos you could see.
You're saying it's possible. You think that the Amara might have learned Tanakh. It's possible. It's definitely a possibility.
The three Averos you can see, Znus and Retzach, you can see. Sinas Chinam, you cannot see. They have to tell you that's the...
Fine. I would like to suggest one mahalach that is hinted in a gra in Evan Shlema, but I'll try to flesh it out by bringing a very beautiful idea from Chovos HaLevavos. Chovos HaLevavos, I have two shtiklach from two different places in Shara HaBitachon. Shara HaBitachon talks about being boteach in Hashem, and part of being boteach in Hashem is being able to be boteach in people. Once I could rely on people to do what they're supposed to do, then I could, you know, understand what it means to be boteach in Hashem, and assume that He'll be there for me. If I can't trust people who are going to take care of me, how could I trust Hashem that He's going to take care of me? So I have to start with being boteach in people. But that's one part of bitachon. There's another aspect of bitachon, and this is what I want to learn with you. Chos halavava shar bitachon, shar dalet, perek gimel. He's listing a number of things of the advantages of having bitachon. And source number 9, he says, part of bitachon is realizing she'ein be'yad echa mehabruim lehoel es nafsho v'lo lehazika. A person, any other human being, does not have the ability to do anything good for me, to me, or to hurt me. Ki im b'shus habori yisbarach. There's no human being, imagine me going into work, realizing that my boss can't do nothing, can't do anything to me, without Rishus HaBarach. Imagine the self-confidence I'm going to be, the happiness, the simcha that I can have. Well, you for yourself. So, imagine you walk into work and you feel this way. The last line of this section 9. V'chein, k'sheyargish ha'adam, sh'lo yo'ilet, v'lo yazikan v'echa man Ephraim. If you realize that no one is going to be able to either help you nor bother you, You're not going to be scared of other people, nor will you hope to get things from other people. This is developed later on in that Shem Shar Bitachon in Perakei. And he says, what happens for somebody who has Midas HaBitachon? Now remember, Midas HaBitachon is an emotion, it's a belief, it's an avoda pnimis. What happens when a person has an avoda pnimis of being poteach in Hashem? Kevoteach b'elokim hu ahuv l'chol kitos b'nei Adam. People like a guy like that. Why would you like somebody who has bitachon? Mepnei shem betuchem hazakaso. Because they know that if you're poteach in Hashem, you're never gonna try to hurt me. Because the yisod of bitachon is that you realize that everything is from Hashem, and therefore, You're not going to blame anybody. You're not going to blame if I work for somebody, and a deadline is coming and a report has to be come out, and I'm terrified they're going to give me a bad report because I didn't put it out yet. But if I realize that he's boteach in Hashem, that everything is from Hashem, so he's not going to be angry at me because he's realizes that if the report didn't come out, it's not my fault. So I'm going to like him, because I have nothing to be scared of him. Pnei Shem Betuchim, end of the line. Give me 1 second. Pnei Shem Betuchim Hazakasa, V'libo Sholim Machmasa, V'lo Yifchidu Mimenu. They're not going to be worried that he's going to be run after Nesheyem, or he's going to be looking after my wife and my money. No, because he's Boteach. I'm not worried that he's going to try to get after my money, he's going to try to swindle me, because he's Boteach, that his money is from Hashem. And similarly, that other person who has Bitachon is also not bothered by other people. Somebody who has bitachon realizes that both his benefit, all the good things that's coming to him, it's not coming from any other person. All the nezek that's coming to him, it's not coming from any other person. And therefore, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to such a person? Such a person is never going to have any reason to fight, to argue, to dislike, to be jealous of another person. You could read the rest of what he says. Says the Gra, Nevin Shleim, I tried to find it inside, I saw it quoted, and therefore I'm just writing it out. I tried to find it, but the Bar Ilan didn't have it, and I didn't find it in Arutz HaChachma either. The Gra, Nevin Shleim, says the following. And this is going to be, you remember that line in the Gemara in Yuma that we asked just 2 minutes ago? What does that mean that the second Beis HaMikdash, we didn't know what that Aveir wasn't Begali? What does it mean that Aveir wasn't Begali? Says the Gra, the Yisod of the Sinas Chinam, for which the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, was a lack of Emuna. It wasn't I hated you, it was I didn't have proper Emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Memeila, there was room, now with the Chovas HaLevavos you can understand. If I realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the show to the T, I have no reason to dislike you, because anything that you do to me wasn't you who did it to me, it's from Hashem. Anything that I stand to be at risk of from you, I'm not at risk of anything from you, it's all going to be from Hashem. So you're not a threat to me at all, and I'm not a threat to you at all. That's if there's the Emunah, if there's the Bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the lack of that kind of Bitachon, only there can there exist Sinas Chinam. And I think with that idea, we can understand what the Gemara Yuma says. That's what it means. Achronim, the second Beis Hamikdash, lo nisgal avonam, their Aveira was a completely internal Aveira. It wasn't an Aveira. It wasn't really an Aveira of Sinas Chinam. So the Sinas Chinam was just the external manifestation. Exactly, with the result. Exactly.
But it should say that it was because of a lack of.
But you know what? That was lo nisgala. Exactly. That's what the Gra is saying. It was lo nisgala. We can't see that. That's not something you could see. Bitachon, you can't see Bitachon. You can't see Bitachon. We can't. Okay, the Nevi'im can tell us Bitachon, but there was no Nevu in second Beis HaMikdash. Right? The first Beis HaMikdash, Almav da Haaretz. So the Nevuah said, Al Azma is Torah C. Okay, we could see, or a steer, or the Gilei steer. There was no way, and how could you know? The only way you can know what's in other people's heart is in Nevuah. There was no Nevuah in the second Beis HaMikdash, certainly in the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Nevuah had stopped 500 years earlier. So how are we supposed to know? If we can't see it because it's an internal thing, oh, that's what the Gemara Yuma says. Lo nisgal avona. Of course in the Schinim we see people acting with attitude and with arrogance and not nicely to other people. That's visible. Why is the Lonis Galakitim? Because the source, the shorish, was the lack of bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the source of everything good and being the source of everything bad. And therefore, if you don't have that belief, the way you interact with people is with jealousy, is with anger, is with fear, is with Sinoschim is gonna fester when that in the context of that kind of belief system. That perhaps could be an idea that is behind this the shoresh of where the Sinas Chinam comes from. What time is it?
10:14.
Okay, let's talk about that in a moment, and then we'll finish with that point with the Rebbe's part. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehi
Amen. Amen.
I want to add, those of you who heard my speech on Shiva Subatama, this Mekudas from that, the Netziv in his Hakdama to Sefer Bereishis talks about the Sinas Chinam that destroyed the second base of Mitzvah. And he says an incredible thing. And you see the brilliance of the Netziv in this Vart. You think people just hated other people, okay, we tried to explain that there was a lack of bitachon and there was. But sinas chinam is a very strong word. Sinas chinam, sin is a strong word. Chinam is a strong word. You know, I understand, like by Rabbi Akiva, lo nagu kavod ze laze. That's a very subtle, nuanced kind of accusation. But sinah is a grub word. And chinam makes even more grub. Says the Netziv, these people were mechavan l'shem shemayim. But what do people do when they're mechavan l'shem shemayim? Some of the biggest sinah that we have bizman hazeh between different factions of Klal Yisrael is unquestionably rooted in people who at least think that they're doing l'shem shemayim. Look at what the Netziv says. Mipnei sinas chinam shebekula shebelivam zezeh. And this is based, by the way, the idea is based on what we saw in the Kara Kamach. Rabbi Bechai talked about that sinas chinam emanates from the fact that people look at the world differently. But now look how the Netziv takes that. Choshdu es mishiro shenoik shlo kedaitam b'yiras Hashem. Right? The real mahalach is to be a kaltal litvak like me. And you're a chassid. You're a chassidish neshama. So I'll just give you a name. We call it a tztuki, or an apikoros. Or you're a this, or you're a that, or whatever you are. We could all call each other names based on you know, the shivas that I went to and that you went to. And we could all call each other tztukim and apikoros. And why? Because we are firmly believing in the righteousness of our mahalach and avodas Hashem. And therefore, if anybody has a different model of avodas Hashem, he must be wrong. He's a tztukim, he's apikoros, right? Look at the next line. Ubo al yedei zol dei shvichus damim, which is interesting because Chazal don't say that they kill. Right? The first base was destroyed because of killing. Look what he says. Al yedei din shamaridin v'lo malin. Oh my goodness. I disagree with you. Therefore, you're an apikoros. What do you do to an apikoros? You go to the Rav. The Rav told me I should kill you. Yeah, if you don't believe this happened, it happened in Eretz Yisrael. What, 20 years ago? Right, with the assassination attempt was based on, I don't want to get political here, but based on somebody who had a certain idea of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and therefore somebody who didn't agree to him was called a rodeif in that context, or in this called an api, whatever, maybe it wasn't apikoros, but we're not getting into that. But, and therefore, we could go kill. So in other words, it all starts l'shem shamayim. That's the most incredible thing. What starts l'shem shamayim and me being strong in my beliefs, and somebody who has super duper hashkafas, if you're going out with him, be very careful, because super duper hashkafas could also mean, you know, anybody who's not like his super duper hashkafas is an apikoros, and that's going to lead to moridin v'lo malin. A fascinating perspective, a brilliant taich that the Netziv offers to what was happening by Hashani. I want to finish up with the. With 2 points, one from the Maral, and then the point that Rabbi Rabinowitz talked about maybe a commonality between the. We talked about the distinction between the first and the second base of Mitzvah, but we'll end with the commonality between them. But before that, base of Mitzvah was destroyed because of who? Al Kamtzah, Bar Kamtzah, Nechrav Yerushalayim. That is the pinnacle of Sinas Chinam. Right? If you were in seventh grade and your rabbi said, I want you to do a report on Sinas Chinam, or I want you to do a report on Bayis Sheni, what would be the one line that you would say is the cause of Bayis Sheni? Kamsa Bar Kamsa. That's clear. That's the Gemara. I think that's what Chazal is teaching us.
That's factionalism.
What?
That was factionalism between the Prushim, the Bar Yonim.
Okay, fine. You're getting deeper. On a simpler level, I think it's that there was a case of Malbim Pnei Chaver, Barabim. That's right, and the Rabbanim looked on, and they didn't protest, and they were fine. But there was Malbim Pnei Chaver, Barabim. That's what happened. And that was obviously that wasn't why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. That was just a straw that broke the camel's back. It was the context that allowed this terrible Malbim Pnei Chaver, Barabim to occur. Says the Maral, Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, I never heard of a name Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. It says, you know what that name means? If you remember Kometz, what's a Kometz? The Kohen takes the Kometz, he has a whole barrel of flour. What do? Separate. Says the Maral, Kamsa, and he goes through numerous places in both Chumash and in Mishnayic Hebrew, and in Gemara, those of you who are in my Gemara Shem Shabbos afternoon, we had the story of Og lifted up the mountain to throw on top of Bnei Israel, and the mountain, some kamtzas came, Rashi says they're ants, and drilled a hole in the middle, and the rock fell on his head. Kamtza is something that eats, how does he explain? They're small little things, because anything that's small, Maral says, is by definition, is going to be involved with separation, because something that's big could be inclusive, something that's small becomes separate. So Kamsa and Bar Kamsa is the idea in their very name is Pirud, is Chiluk. With that, Maral says the point that we made earlier, that the Yesod of the second Beis Hamikdash was what? The Yesod of the second Beis Hamikdash on the top of the last page. The Yesod of the second Beis Hamikdash was only, they didn't have Shechina, they didn't have Ruach HaKodesh, they didn't have Urim V'Tumim, they had Achdus. And once you had Pirud, once you have Kamtza or Bar Kamtza, which are just the manifestations of Pirud, everything is just pulled away from underneath itself. I want to finish, the last point, what Rabbi Runes pointed out earlier, is that I think, even though the Gemara sets it up with a contrast that the first Beis Hamikdash was from the big three, Yarag Val Yavar, Zgila Arayas, Avad Zar, Shvichas Damim, as opposed to Kamsa, Bar Kamsa, as opposed to the second Beis Hamikdash, which was Sinas Chinam. What I'm going to show you right now is that they're all really the same. The first Beis Hamikdash and the second Beis Hamikdash is all really the same. Why is that? Because if we appreciate with a heightened sensitivity what Malbim Pnei Chaver Berabim is, you might already know where I'm going, you'll understand why the second Beis Hamikdash's destruction was on the same playing field as the first Beis Hamikdash's destruction. Tosis and Sota, we're not going to go through the sources inside. Tosis and Sota is bothered. How come? Gemara tells us in Sota, in Bava Metzia, that Noach lo la'adam shi'apolis atzman selch kivshan ha'esh, which we learned from Tamar, that Yehuda says, we learned from Tamar. Tamar was ready to let herself be burnt, to let herself be killed, rather than embarrass Yehuda. And Tosis asks a question. Tosis asks, how come it's not included? If it's better to die, that means it's better to die than to embarrass somebody. So what does that show you about embarrassing somebody? That it's akin to Yarag Vayavar. Answers Tosis, fascinating answer. Look at the Tosis answer, the underlined line at the end of 16. Tosin Sota, Yerom and Beis, Mishum Da'averas Halbonas Panim. You know why it's not in the big three? It's not in the big three Yarag Vayavar? Because it's Eino Mifureshes Batorah. And when we mention the big three, we only list those that are Averas HaMifureshes. If we could read between the lines, Rabosai, practically explicitly, what is Tosis saying? That it is 100% a Yaharag Va'al Yavar to embarrass somebody publicly. It's just not in the list because it's not Mefurish Bikra in Chumash. In other words, Tosus is paskin Halacha and Lamaisa, and so too is paskin the Shari Chuvin Rabbeinu Yonah, also Mefurish, that being Mapilatzmo, being Malbim Pnei Chavero, is Mamish Halacha Ulamaisa Yehorag Va'al Yavar. Rabosai, what was the first Beis Hamikdash destroyed for? the Gimel Yoharek Val Yavaris. What was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed for? The fourth Yoharek Val Yavaris. We should be Zoche to be Misakein, our Sinas Chinam. We should be Zoche to the Gula Shlema, Mehei Rav Yamina.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.